Well, despite some cold snaps, we've had a number of unseasonably warm days this December. For some, it's the difference between a light and a heavy jacket. For others, it's the difference between living and freezing to death while sleeping outside. They used to call it global warming. Now they call it climate change. But warming is still a fundamental factor in the future of human life on this planet, if not all life. In October of this year, the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, released a special report on the impact of global temperature averages rising by between 1.5 and 2 degrees Celsius. Now, while you might not notice that change of temperature in a room, thousands of scientists from around the world agree that if we don't cap global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius and allow it to drift up to 2 degrees Celsius, which the Paris agreements allow for, we'll see ever-rising sea levels, even more extreme weather events, even longer heat waves, the desertification of forests and arable land, reductions in crop productivity, as well as more crop failures.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas, I'm Mr. Sun.
As a consequence of all this, not only are people's homes submerged along coastlines and battered by storms, but an inconsistent food supply and disappearing sources of water mean that there'll be more conflicts over basic resources. And to make matters worse, the report says that we're actually on a trajectory to see temperatures rising by something more like 3 degrees Celsius. And the report says that we have a mere 12 years, to get halfway to where we need to be as far as sequestering carbon and reducing our output. Just like global capitalism that is changing the climate change is rife with inequities. Some of these have to do with who suffers from climate change. Others have to do with who bears the responsibility for the largely economic activities that are changing the climate. Those who suffer more include the poor, the working classes, people of color, indigenous people, women and children, people with disabilities, who, according to perverse irony, contribute the least to climate change. The biggest contributors to climate change are obviously the fossil fuel industries themselves, but also the many industries that make heavy use of fossil fuels for producing and distributing things. And then, of course, there are cars and other motor vehicles, and the airlines, and the home building industry. In the last couple of weeks, you heard Bill Resnick talking with Richard Smith about China's economy and how they can't stop building. We have 6 or 7 empty homes for every person who doesn't have a home to live in. That's millions of empty homes. At this point, you might be wondering, well, where are the consumers in this picture of human-caused climate change? The problem with focusing on consumers, though, is that this tends to fetishize their role in the whole process.
And I can't be held responsible for what I don't decide, I don't decide, I don't decide. And I can't be held responsible for what I don't decide, I'm just following the guidelines politicians have supplied.
When Karl Marx talked about commodity fetishism, he's talking about the way that commodities, things that we go to the store and buy, lose all trace of the fact that they've been made somewhere by someone with some stuff. And in a similar way, when we focus on consumers, we lose sight of the fact that their choice in the matter is sometimes prescribed by larger social forces. Take the Yellow Vest movement of France. The French government proposes raising fuel taxes on most everyone. Then, the theory goes, seeing the demand for cheaper transit options, industry will improve and produce more electric vehicles. However, many French people did not think that this was a great idea. Many took to the streets, wearing the yellow vests that they are required by law to carry in their trunks. Many people have to drive far just to get to work, especially if they live outside the cities where they work. With no mass public transit alternatives to the petrol vehicles they rely on, and not to mention the obscene tax breaks given to the richest 1%, the Yellow Vests were protesting this focus on the consumer. The IPCC report says that rapid, far-reaching, and unprecedented changes in all aspects of society are needed to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. So yeah, consumption itself is going to change. But a key aspect of what needs to change is the way in which many forms of our consumption are individualized, if not made disposable. We need more forms of communal consumption, like public mass transit or libraries. Libraries of books, libraries of tools, libraries of music, libraries of whatever kind of thing you can use and someone else can use after you. We need to shut down the fossil fuel industry, but also the many industries who use fossil fuel energy to exploit the environment and human needs. The Green New Deal sought by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would do some of that, eliminate fossil fuels, or to riff off Grover Norquist, make them so small they could drown him in a bathtub. Or, as Matt Huber said for Verso's blog, we do not need to tax molecules, we need to tax the rich. Insofar as it is the rich capitalists who disproportionately benefit from carbon, a carbon tax could achieve this to some extent, but carbon isn't a class enemy. It is something all of us use. While the climate movement has done a great job naming the enemy of the fossil fuel industry, the truth is climate change is actually caused by the rich capitalist class as a whole. Thus, in reality, climate change probably won't be solved by some special climate-focused tax on only one industry or sector. It must be based on taxing the rich in general. Building the kind of transformations the IPCC says are required will take a whole lot of public revenue that can only be funded through a large-scale politics of wealth distribution. End quote.
Tax the rich! Tax the rich! Close the loopholes so none of them can fudge it. Bring 'em home, bring 'em home, and eliminate the military budget.
But we should add the only way that a politics of wealth distribution will help us avert the worst catastrophes possible from climate change is if it is redistributed through new means of living. Moreover, we must make it possible for workers in destructive and extractive industries to disinvest their labor and reinvest it in other needed tasks. We need millions of people doing restoration work. We need to plant 100 million trees. We need millions of people repairing things. We need millions of people to recycle materials. We need millions of people to coordinate new kinds of resource networks. We need millions of people to farm in sustainable ways. We need to, in all of our institutions, reinvigorate and reentrench care and stewardship. But consumers paying more for gasoline, or organic fruits and vegetables, or paying a tax on sodas, aren't going to create the space for these transformations to happen. To do that, we need to create mass movements, to move governments, and to directly confront the machine. And that may be one of the most important choices that individuals can make in these times. Join organizations like unions, like KABU, like Occupy, or like the Yellow Vests. Like the Sunrise Movement, youth who staged a sit-in on Nancy Pelosi's office demanding a Green New Deal. Engage in collective direct action, like Blockadia, or pickets, or highway shutdowns, or eviction defenses. We won't get the Green New Deal we need without creating pressure through social disruption and agitation and education. For the Old Mole Variety Hour in KBOO Portland, I'm Joe Clement.
You're trying to tell me capital has won at last. Anyone who's not convinced has just been shown the door. You're trying to tell me competition turns the wheels. Smart money never deals in welfare anymore. Survival of the fittest keeps the species strong. Change is always painful, but it doesn't last too long. Excuse me, friend, I think you could be wrong. When some of us are free to rise and some are free to fall, all of us are under the dictatorship of capital.